Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to start a study on the parable of the sower. Unfortunately, Brother Lewis is not able to join us tonight. He will, however, reunite with us next week. It's definitely a blessing to have Brother Lewis here, and I would definitely miss him tonight. And I know that the listeners will also miss him. He's very valuable and integral to this ministry, and he will be back next week. Again, we're doing the study on the parable of the sower. I don't think that we'll be able to go through the whole parable, as there is specific details that we'll be looking at tonight, but Nevertheless, I believe it's going to be a fruitful study. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. We have access to all of our podcasts. You have access to our live feed. You can also contact us via the contact page, or you can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can also find us on our Facebook page, where we weekly post up our podcasts, or you can also subscribe through iTunes for automatic downloads. You can also download the free app that is both available for Android as well as for iPhone. You can also contact us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-RRAP. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless the study tonight. Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy, holy, holy name. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that it is your Holy Spirit, Father, that grants us revelation of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have left us your word, Father, to be a light unto our path. And we ask that tonight, Father, your Holy Spirit may lead us, may be present here with us in the studio, as well as those, Father, that are receiving the word, Father, that this may be fruitful in their lives, Lord, that they may be edified tonight, that your people, Father, may be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, by this word that they have, that you have for them today, Lord. We pray, Father, that you use me with power. We pray also for Brother Lewis, Father, that's not with us tonight, Father, that you may bless him, Lord, that you may bless his family. And that, Father, you may continue to bless this ministry, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight. We pray that you be glorified above all things. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Darkest hours, of the dawn to see the glory and the power of the Lord.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Tonight we're doing a study on the parable of the sower. One of the interesting things about the Bible is that the Bible has many different ways that it uses, that the Holy Spirit has put in there and recorded in there to communicate to us a message. For example, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible uses contrast a lot. There's a contrast between the fool and the wise. In the book of Revelation, we see a lot of use of symbolism, where the Holy Spirit puts in there symbols. For example, we read about candlesticks and stars, a woman with child, things that are not supposed to be meant, that are not meant to be taken literal, but are symbolic of something greater that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. And we also have, among many other different ways that the Bible speaks to us, is through parables. And specifically by our Lord Jesus Christ, whom in the gospel uses a lot of parables to communicate deep truths of God to his people. And a parable is a short story that has elements of that story that are used to convey a truth. Probably one of the most famous parables is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we actually did a exposition on, and maybe we'll do again sometime in the future, because it's a very important parable. And today we'll be looking at the parable of the sower. Now, what's interesting about this parable is that it is found in three of the Gospels. It is found in Matthew 13, verse 3 through 23. It is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 15. Now, why is it important to mention that it's found in three of the Gospels? Because we can learn about something's importance by the amount of times that it's emphasized in the Scripture. Meaning, the more something is mentioned, the more the Holy Spirit is leading us and is saying, hey, listen, there's a reason why this is being repeated. This is very important for you to know. This is very important for you to understand. And that's not to say that all parts of the Bible are not important. They are important. But there is also truths that are more important in degrees, more important to our lives. For example, the gospel, knowing the gospel is central to all the scriptures. If you learn everything about the Bible, but you don't get the gospel, you don't believe the gospel, then there's a serious problem. Because all the truth of the Bible is centered in the gospel. Therefore, it is higher in degree of the importance that it has for us as Christians. Now, the parable of the sower is a very profound parable for several reasons. There's specific reasons why it's important for us to understand the application and the meaning of this parable. Number one, it was not meant to be understood by casual followers. Very important, because the deep truths of God are valuable, and they are not revealed to those who don't want it, to those who do not seek the Lord. One of the things that we read about in the parable is when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them and to give them the specific meaning of this parable. And he tells them that to them it is given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to those that were hearing the parable, it was not. It was not given to them. Jesus gives the interpretation of the parable of the sower to the disciples, specifically in private. He does not, those that were around Jesus, that were listening, that were not part of his disciples, they heard the parable, but they did not understand what Jesus was talking about. The deep truths of God are valuable. When we become lax in our devotion to God, in our seeking Him, when we just have God as just another aspect of our life, but it's just there, it's just another thing to put on the shelf. We just call ourselves Christians, but it's not something that we are passionate about. It's not something that envelops our life. It's not something that we are serious about. Then the revelation of God through His Word ceases in our life. We don't receive it. That's why this parable is important. The Bible, that's why the Bible speaks about a famine of the Word of God. And something is interesting, brothers and sisters, because we here, specifically in the United States, are the most spiritual, laziest generation, we are also the least knowledgeable in the Word of God. And though we have it available to us in every single medium, you can hear the Bible while you're working, you can put it on an MP3 player, you can have the Bible on an app, on a smartphone, on an iPad, on your computer, you can read the Bible for free. Everyone has access to a Bible here in this country. We have it available in every single medium, but yet we are the most spiritual bankrupt generation. And speaking about Christians, we are the most ignorant generation of the Bible. And it's very sad. And it's because we don't value the truth of God. We don't have a desire for truth. And because we don't have it, because we don't desire to have it, God doesn't give it to us. Number two, the parable of the sower is important because it is useful and understanding why it is that we can hear preaching after preaching, that we can sit down and hear sermon after sermon and not bear any fruit. It shows us why people can sit in a pew Sunday after Sunday, year after year, and not be transformed, not be changed. The parable of the sower is also helpful in discipling and helping us understand why it is that we can preach the gospel to people and some of them respond a certain way and others don't. It teaches us how and why it is that some people are saved and some you preach to them and it's just like there's a wall there. So we can use it. It's practical in helping us understand in the area of discipling. And though this parable is found in three of the Gospels, I want to look at the parable of the sower that's found in Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8. And this is my theory. And the reason why I want to look at specifically the parable in these two chapters, in these two books, is because my theory is that the subtle differences with regards to the details that are given to us in these two chapters lead me to believe that the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 speaks directly to the Christian, and the parable in Luke chapter 8 is directed to teach us as to why certain unbelievers do not come to the faith. So Matthew 13 is more practical for us as believing Christians, why it is that we do or don't bear fruit in our lives. And Luke chapter 8 is more directed as to why it is that certain unbelievers respond to the gospel in one way or another. And if time permits, I want to look at them individually. I don't know if we'll be able to go through every single one of them. Hopefully, this will be a continuing study, but I will go as far as I can because there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of important lessons that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us through this parable. Now, the parable of the sower is about how four different types of soils respond to the seed that is planted in them. And the Bible teaches us that these four different soils that the Lord Jesus talks about in this parable represent the heart and the condition of the heart. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It says, keep your heart. Well, that word keep, it means guard it. It means put a watch over it. With all diligence, it means do everything possible to protect your heart and to guard it. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. What does that mean, the issues of life? Well, think about it like this. The organ, the heart, connects to the rest of the body, to every single organ, to every single part of the body, through the veins. And through those veins, the life, which is the blood, the Bible says the blood is the life. In the blood is the life of a person. It flows to every single part of the body. So the heart is involved and directly affects every single organ, every single part of our body, and likewise, the condition of our spiritual heart affects the totality of our lives. And that's why the Bible is telling us, listen, guard your heart. This is how important the heart is. It affects every single aspect of your life. What you let in, the way it is, will affect you totally. That's why the Bible gives us this clear instruction. Guard your heart with all diligence, with everything you can. Guard your heart. So let's go ahead and start by looking at the parable of the sower in Matthew. We'll go ahead and read the parable and then the interpretation. We'll look individually. We'll look at every soil individually and look at the important details and some of the lessons that we learn from those details from each and see how far we can get. We'll read the whole parable and then look at them individually. Let's go ahead and start in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. And the Bible says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For these people's heart is wax gross, or wax dull, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." So here Jesus is telling them again, just as I mentioned to you before, the reason why they're hearing it as a parable and not receiving the interpretation is because these people's heart do not value the truth of God. They are not following after him. Therefore, God is not allowing them to know the truth. He says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And here he gives us the interpretation. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which received seed by the wayside." So this is the interpretation of the wayside. The second one he says, "But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and that the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some and 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And that's where he ends the interpretation of the parable of the sower. So let's go ahead and start by looking at the first one, the wayside. I'll go ahead and read once again what Jesus says about the wayside, and then we'll focus on the interpretation. The wayside is found in Matthew 13:4. He says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell from the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." And the interpretation is found in verse 19. He says, "And when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So first of all, the seed in every single one of these soils represents, Jesus tells us here, the word of the kingdom. The word of God. The word of the kingdom. The word that comes from a king. This is just not, this is not just any word. This is not just any seed. The Bible is not just any book, but it is the only book given to us by God, directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. When you hear the word and you don't understand it, the Bible says that the wicked one comes and snatches it away. It says the wicked one snatches the word away. Now, notice here specifically, in this parable here, Matthew, it doesn't specifically say the devil. It doesn't say the devil comes and snatches it up. It says the wicked one comes and snatches it up. And this is important. And it's not because it's not referring to the devil. I'm not saying that it's not referring to the devil. But I think there's a specific reason why it doesn't say the devil. And that's because there are other elements that the devil can use that doesn't necessarily mean that he's directly involved. For example, you have in today's day and age, here in the United States, we have a lot of university professors that are wicked men and women. We have many young Christians that at the influence of professors in the secular universities abandon their faith. Christianity is under assault in the higher education institutions of this country. I remember hearing a story about an incident that happened here in a college in the state of Florida where a professor told all the students to take out a blank piece of paper, on that blank piece of paper write the name of Jesus and to put it on the ground and to step all over it. Now, I don't understand, first and foremost, what educational purpose this has, other than the fact that this is part of an agenda in the universities to cause Christian young men and women to abandon their faith. Christianity is under assault here in universities. And some of these wicked men have a specific intent on trashing Christianity. They hate Christianity. And obviously they're in line with the devil. The devil uses these people. But they're wicked men and women that have rejected God and that have an agenda. Secular universities have become vehemently anti-Christian. And honestly, in this day and age, it's better for a young person to to go to a local trade school where they can learn a trade that can be used in the real world, rather than going to these extremely expensive colleges that will do everything they can to erode their faith. It's better to go to some local school than to send a young person to these institutions that are bent on robbing them of their faith. Now, it can also be this wicked individual. The wicked one could also be a wicked man preaching from a pulpit. How many Christians are lacking fruit in their lives, how many Christians have been led astray because they listen to these ministers of Satan that spread and spew cancerous doctrine. Doctrine that has greatly affected the body of Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot be naive that we cannot see and understand that Satan has infiltrated the church and has placed ministers, his own ministers, not just people that are ignorant, but people that are willfully under the power of Satan to bring confusion and derision into the church. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that these men creep into the church. These men have this intention to mislead. They are used by Satan to cause confusion. What Satan could not do through his barrage of attacks, through persecution of the church, he has managed to do through infiltration of its leadership. When we look at history and we look at the Church of Jesus Christ, how it flourished under the heaviest amount of persecution, which we can point at many points in history. We can look at the communism that was going on in Russia and how Christians were still standing up and how Christianity was growing. We look at the history when the Roman Empire was the greatest empire in the world and how Christians were persecuted then. The church withstood attack after attack from many of the emperors of Rome. They suffered torture. They were crucified. They were burned alive. They were thrown to the lions as a form of entertainment in the Colosseum. And all this only caused the church to become stronger, to grow bolder about their faith. But once its leadership became compromised, it lost its momentum, it lost its power. But don't think for a moment that just because the church in America has experienced such deception and corruption that the church has fallen away. The true church of Jesus Christ continues to faithfully follow the Lord. You may not see it on television. You may not hear it in mainstream media, but the Word of God continues forward. The real, true Church of Christ continues marching on. In China, I was reading recently that in China, there are over tens of thousands of people giving their lives to Jesus every day. The Church of Jesus Christ in atheist China, atheist communist China, a place where you're arrested for being a Christian. You go to jail for several years for having a Bible. Christianity is growing and flourishing. And some people say that by 2020, China will more than likely be the place that has the most Christians in the world. Not the United States. China. It goes to show you, brothers and sisters, that the Church of Jesus Christ continues to grow strong and powerful. And we've had the opportunity to go and visit Nicaragua and to see the growth that the Lord is bringing. People are hungry there for the Word of God. The church continues forward, and the power of God is being poured out. But the problem in America is that we've allowed the wicked one to snatch away the seed. And it's not only the wicked one's fault. You know, here in America, Christianity, in the United States, we've made a practice of blaming Satan for everything. Every little thing is Satan's fault. Satan is the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it. But we do not stop to analyze and see that a lot of these things are also our fault, brothers and sisters. It's not always the devil. Sometimes it's because of the decisions that we make. And when we fail to take responsibility for our decisions, we're going to fail to grow. We'll fail to grow. It's not always the devil. Sometimes it's the decisions that me and you make. So one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves in regards to this parable, why is it that this person receiving the seed, receiving the word, why is it that they don't understand? Jesus says that in the seed, here specifically speaking about the wayside, that the word is snatched away when a person doesn't understand. The devil, the wicked one, the person doesn't understand, the wicked one comes and snatches away the seed. So the question is, why is it that this person doesn't understand? And there's two reasons, I believe. Number one, the person giving the seed, the one person giving the word. See, the goal of every Bible teacher, every pastor, should make the message be as understandable as possible. To make things so simple, or as simple as it can possibly be made. To make the message understandable. When we overcomplicate a message, there is a risk of losing the listener. When we are out and about and we're talking to other people and we, instead of simply giving them the gospel, we overcomplicate things, that message will not remain with that person. We need to simplify things. Likewise, if we are not thorough enough, we also run the same risk of that person not understanding. So, part of the reason why that person may not understand has to do with the person communicating the message. If we're not effective communicators, if we're not asking the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to proclaim and to preach the gospel or to teach others, then we can actually be bringing people into confusion. And that's dangerous. And the second aspect, the second reason why this person may not understand is based on the listener. The listener also has a responsibility. If he or she does not understand, they have a responsibility to ask. To ask, hey, listen, you were preaching this message. There's something you said here. I'm really interested in knowing and understanding what you're trying to say, but I didn't understand what you said in this point. Can you please explain it to me? Can you please clarify that for me? They should study. They should seek to understand. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 2. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out of matter." It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. What is the proverb saying here? It's saying, you know what? God hides things sometimes. But it is up to us to go and seek it out and find the truth. There is a responsibility that every one of us has, and that is to seek out understanding. The Bible says, above all, seek understanding. Above all thy getting, get understanding. So it's not, we can't just say, oh, it's all these false preachers. but we have a responsibility to go and read the Word of God. We have access to so much information. We have commentaries. We have, most importantly, the Holy Spirit that the Bible tells us will lead us into all truth. There is a responsibility upon us to seek out understanding. But there is another detail about this parable that is very important that reveals to us a very important aspect of the soil. Specifically here that we're still talking about the wayside, so more than likely we're not going to have time to do the whole parable, so at least we'll focus on one aspect of the parable and then we'll do the rest in subsequent studies. But there's a very important point about this parable that gives us a little bit more understanding. Jesus says that the seed, the first aspect of this parable is that the seed that fell by the wayside. Now, the word translated wayside, a Greek word translated wayside, means a traveled road or an established road. Think about it like a, you know, the roads here in the United States are paved in asphalt, and they're established, they're set in that way. We have a great highway here, highway I-95 that travels from Florida all the way to New York. It is an established path. It goes from one way to another way. That it will not change. They can't make it go from east to west. It is going from north to south. It has a specific direction on which you can go. It is an established road. And this is important because this the name that is given to the place where this seed falls, the place where the seed falls, is important because it tells us that this parable, that this part of the parable, is not just referring to someone who had the word stolen because they did not understand, but they did not understand because their heart was predetermined the direction they were going to take. Remember, the wayside means an established road. The heart of this person had said in their heart that regardless of what God wants them to do, they're going to do it. They have already predetermined in their heart that this is the way that they're going to go. And when we predetermine decisions that we will do something no matter what God says, His word would have no effect upon our hearts. Not only because we don't understand, but we don't understand because we don't care to. Because we're not diligent to seek out and to find out what is it that God wants us to do. When a person says, I'm going to marry this girl, I'm going to marry this boy, no matter, even if the Word of God says, don't be unequally yoked. Oh, when a person says, oh, and they're going to take on some business partner and the person's not a Christian, or they're going to take on some enterprise, they're going to make this big decision and they don't care what God wants them to do, the Word of God will not affect them. The Word of God will have no fruit in that person's life. They have a predetermined direction in which they're going to go, and God is not going to contest with you. The Word of God is not going to be fruitful to you. A person who is set on what they're going to do doesn't care about advice. Look at what the scripture tells us in Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way, which Jesus said that the seed fell on the wayside. Remember, it's a pre-established road. It is a traveled road. It says that there is a way here in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way, or there is a road. When we follow our own predetermined decisions without caring about what God wants, His word will be fruitless. Because the Bible shows us, brothers and sisters, that sin sin hardens the heart. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible says the deceitfulness of sin hardens our hearts. When we are convinced that this is a way that we want to go, our hearts become hardened to the voice of God. Our hearts become hardened to the word of God. Our hearts become hardened to those that are around us and that care for us and that want us to do the right thing. We can't listen to that, because we've made our mind. We've made up our mind. And that's why the Bible says we should exhort one another daily. Before we fall into that situation, there's a huge role that the church plays in the life of a believer with regards to their sanctification. We are all to exhort one another. We have authority over one another. To say, hey, brother, I notice that you're going in this direction. I notice that you're doing this. I know that lately you've changed in this way. Listen, this is what the Word of God says. I care for you and I love you and I don't want you to fall astray. And because we have a predetermined decision, the wicked one has the ability to come and steal away the seed of God. Steal away the word. He can't just do it. It says it's someone that doesn't understand. And they don't understand because they're fixed on the decision they're going to make. So I just want to do a quick recap. Number one, our hearts should value the word of God. We need to cherish the word of God. That's the most important thing, the condition of our hearts. If we don't care about the word of God, if we just go to church just out of tradition, just as a casual thing, it's not going to have any impact on our lives whatsoever. It's like going to any other club. If we're going to church just out of tradition and we don't have our hearts set out to find God. And this is not just, doesn't just apply to church, but what about our devotional time? In our devotional time, we do not have desire to seek out for God. We don't really want Him. Desire to know Him. To know what His will, what His Word says, where we need to change in our lives. We're not going to receive any revelation. Number two, we should seek to make clear when we're explaining to others. Because the devil thrives in confusion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. The devil thrives in confusion. He runs the world through confusion. He loves confusion because he can take advantage of people through confusion. Therefore, we should pray and ask God to help us to be better communicators of His word, so that people can be changed and transformed. And number three, if we don't understand, we should make an effort to find out, to discover the truth. Jesus Christ tells us, seek and you shall find. He doesn't say, seek and maybe you'll find. He doesn't say, seek and there's a probable, and it's probable that you'll find. He says, seek and ye shall find. If we have a desire to seek the truth, we shall find it. The Lord says, when you seek me with all of your heart, you shall find me. And therein lies the point. When we seek with all of our heart, you shall find the truth. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. There's still so much to get to in this parable. But I think there's just so many important lessons just in this first part, and I don't know if we'll continue the study next week, but definitely we need to get back to this, because there's so much more in the other soils to learn from. And I hope that this one has been a blessing to you. Father God, We just want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have cared enough to leave it to us here, to give us guidance, to give us understanding. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word has been preserved through countless generations, Lord, of men and women that have laid down their lives for us to have it. And unfortunately, Father, we allow us ourselves to be distracted. We value other things above knowing you. And we ask you for forgiveness, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you may help us, Father. You may help us to be able to focus on the things that truly matter. And that we may value your word, Father, so that it may take seed, so that it may take seed, it may grow in our hearts, Lord. It may take roots in our hearts, Lord, and that we may be changed and transformed. So that when we value your word, Father, the enemy cannot take it away from us, Lord. We see all the things that you're doing all over the world in places, Father, where there's great hostility towards your word and how it still it is prospering because of the love and desire and thirst that your children have for you. We pray that you do the same thing here in our lives in the United States and all those that are listening right now, Father. That, Lord, you restore our first love. And that you restore our focus on you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Because you are gracious, you are good, and your goodness leads us to repentance. I pray you bless all my brothers and sisters that are listening tonight. If they have any need, if they have any trouble, if they have an attack on their lives from the enemy, Father, that you may rebuke the devil from their lives, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to address my brothers and sisters. May you bless them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, we thank you for listening. Again, Brother Lewis will be back here next week, surely. He is a great, great importance in this ministry. And his, please keep our dear Brother Lewis and his family in prayer, as it's not easy to do the work of the Lord because you constantly have barrages from the enemy. But glory to God, he gives us the grace to continue. So please pray for this ministry. Pray for Brother Lewis and his family. He will be back here next week. And remember, you can find us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You have access to all of our podcasts. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, as well as write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or at 305-320-7727. Once again, that phone number is 305-320-RRAP. May the Lord bless you.
Feels like you have forgot me, but the problem is all mine. Give me eyes to see you, destroy and revive, restore and remind. Your face is not hidden, but I have been so blind. Cleansed, I see, my chest has been tight. Now I can breathe as I look up. You lift up my head, oh, to see your, oh, to see your, oh, to see your glory. Feels like you have forgot me, but the problem is all mine. Give me eyes to see you. Destroy and revive, restore and remind. Your face is not hidden, but I have been so blind. Cleansed I see, my chest has been tied, and now I can breathe as I look up. You lift up my head, oh, to see your, oh, to see your, oh, to see your glory. 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 Oh, to see your glory.